Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's my great delight to welcome a friend, but also a dynamic Catholic leader, Sean Breeden. Sean is the general sales manager for Ave Maria Radio. He's been involved in ministry for many, many years. He's a father of how many kids, Sean?
I forgot. Five.
Five children. Kids. His lovely wife, Lexi, the two of them are raising an amazing family. And he's also the founder of Warriors of St. Michael, which is really a dynamic and mature outreach to men that's begun at Christ the King Parish here in Ann Arbor and continues to touch guys sometimes coast to coast. There's guys who are tuning into what they're doing. But welcome, Sean.
Thank you.
You're going to be with us this whole week, right? Isn't that on the contract?
No, I'm kidding.
I'm hoping you can be with us because you have so much to say. I wonder if we could just begin today with your testimony, just sharing with our listeners your story of how you came to love the Lord as passionately as you do.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. So I grew up in South Texas, as you can tell by my thick Southern drawl today. And, you know, I always went to Mass growing up. But it didn't really become my own until high school. And now leading up to that point, it was kind of one of those things where I knew what I was supposed to believe about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. And a lot of the things I was dealing with was related to the death of my father. So he was a hemophiliac, and he contracted HIV through a blood transfusion in 1985. I was born in 87, and then he died in 1990. So I was 3 years old, so it wasn't like many people deal with different things, like a negative experience with their father they have to deal with and try to see God the Father in a healthy way. For me, it was just a total lack of fatherhood. I mean, I had certainly my grandfather was half an hour away, so I'd see him. But there was this underlying insecurity. And as John Paul II said, we're made for love. And if we don't have love, we're missing something. We're going to be searching for it in any place we can find it. The biggest place I found some approximation of love was in perfectionism, where I would try to do everything right, so then I would have that moment where I would be affirmed, and I would feel good about myself for about 3.5 seconds, and then I would be back where I started, longing for love, because ultimately it wasn't just the lack of a human father I was longing for, but the love of an eternal father, an eternal unconditional love is what we're all made for. People say we have this God-shaped hole in our hearts, so for me, I was carrying that insecurity, especially when it came to high school, early high school, and you're in sports teams, and you really want to have a father there that's teaching you how to throw a baseball or shoot a basketball, etc. And I didn't have that. But what I did have was my youth group. I had just started this Life Teen youth group in South Texas. It was just incredible. It was started by these faithful people that had a daughter that was in high school and another daughter that was coming to high school. So they're like, there's no youth group. We got to start something.
Start their own,
right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I feel like how a lot of ministries start. You're like, there's a need. God sent somebody to do it. And you're like, oh, wait, I didn't mean me. I didn't mean you wanted me to start it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they did. And people just it really caught like wildfire. And the biggest sort of piece of it was, they took, I think it was at that point, probably two buses, like charter buses, 70 kids from South Texas over to Alexandria, Louisiana, to Steubenville South Youth Conference. And all of a sudden, all these things that I knew in my head started to come to my heart, where I knew, okay, confession forgives sins. I knew that in my head. But all of a sudden, they started saying it, and the gift of faith kind of came upon me, like, oh my gosh, like, this is a really good deal. I just say all my sins, and then with repentance, and they're forgiven by this priest. This is amazing. So I just had this amazing experience of joy in confession. You know, these sorts of events, it's like a white tent and 15 priests, and I'm going up with a big smile like, I did this, and I did that, and I did this. And the priest, I'm sure, is like, "This, what's going on with this kid? Is he on drugs? Is he on drugs or something?" No, I was just so happy to finally be free. Just to be free, whether it was the sins of impurity and just the innate sort of selfishness that in some ways is natural as you're growing up. Like, you have to take care of yourself. It's not bad. But then when you take it from there to, I'm just always focused on what can I get, even if it's good, like I need love, etc. And he's like, you know what? The way that you can be free is I'm going to fill you with my love. And then you have love to give. And it really snowballed from there. I went to confession. It was amazing. And the next night they had Eucharistic adoration. And again, I knew that this little host was Jesus in my head, but I didn't know it in my heart. But when I locked eyes with that monstrance with the spotlight on it at that moment, that night, I was pierced with faith that all I could think was, this is Jesus. Mm. It kind of repeated that, this is Jesus. And the way I describe it is, anyone that's had any encounter with the Lord, it's kind of similar. It felt like the love of God the Father sort of enveloped me like a warm blanket. And he spoke to me that truth that I most needed to hear, which was, you don't have to be perfect to be loved. You don't have to be perfect to be loved. And that just resonated with me. And from there, it wasn't that I was doing everything perfectly, but I knew that I was loved while I was on the journey. While I was on the journey of growing and growing free from sin and growing in virtue, I knew that Jesus wasn't just the destination after I cleaned myself off with my own willpower, which rarely works out well, Peter. But you allowed...
Been there, done that.
Yeah, didn't work. You allowed Jesus to actually clean you up. I don't know if you know this, but he actually came to save sinners. So I was one of those, and I am one of those. But he came into my life and said, you know, I'm going to walk with you on the journey. While you stumble and fall and you get back up, I'm with you on the journey. And it changed everything. And the closeness of the Holy Spirit that I felt, very intentionally saying, Holy Spirit, be with me in the battles of high school at that time. And it really just started me on the journey of faith on a really amazing place that I'm always able to hearken back to, and just became a firm foundation to go deeper with the Lord over time.
So you ended up, I noticed you ended up going to Franciscan.
Yeah.
And was that kind of the next step for you, or was there more going on right away? Did you engage mission? What was really happening to you after you left the rally? How did you start walking it out? What difference did it make then?
Well, for me, I didn't know how to pray yet. At least I didn't think I knew how to pray, but I did have a worship CD that I bought at the youth conference. Every night I would play that thing, and it became my prayer. I was like, these words are my words. It was a prayer of the heart. And I started to learn to pray, which is really just being present to the love of the Father, lifting your heart and your mind to the Father that we know loves us. And then from there, I started diving into the scriptures and very much what we would call an experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit, where this grace that you've had since baptism kind of was dormant. But all of a sudden, the scriptures were opened because I'd had this subjective response. Mike, I gave my own yes to God. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't get enough of the Gospels and talking about the faith in South Texas. Of course, I had my youth group friends, but a lot of my friends in school were Baptist. Okay, so we had a lot of hardcore apologetics, this Bible verse, that Bible verse kind of stuff. But very much a group of young men that were pursuing the Lord as well. So there wasn't like animosity or anything, but both sort of on the journey. And yeah, from there, I really, Franciscan University was the only place I applied, which is interesting because I was the valedictorian of my class, but I'm like, I hear that's where Jesus is. Like I just had in my mind, like, I want to pursue Jesus. I know that is a place that I can do that. And I had gone to another Steubenville conference up in Steubenville in Ohio and sort of seen the campus and things like that. And basically got to Franciscan, jumped into everything with both feet, sidewalk counseling at the abortion clinic in Pittsburgh, and short-term spring break mission trips to Mexico and to the Bronx, New York, and like just anything I could do to be closer to the Lord. Majored in theology and business administration. And then about my first semester of my junior year, I discerned to join the seminary. So I applied as a seminarian for the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, which was an incredible experience. And then I was there for a couple years. They let me stay at Franciscan in their priestly discernment program, they call it now, a pre-theologate program. And then I felt the Lord leading me out of the seminary as well, which, as they say in the seminary, the goal is not to become a priest. The goal is to find clarity of God's will. Yeah. And found that I was called to be married and started dating Lexi shortly thereafter. And
she was a student at Franciscan too?
She was a student at Franciscan, a nursing major there, which is another miracle because nursing majors are always studying. Just the fact that I met one of them is unique. Yeah, but from there, we dated for, I guess it must have been a little over a year. I did a short-term mission to Guatemala, actually, for a while. Actually, the bulk of it, I guess, was in Honduras for about 90 days, about 3 months, August to December, discerning whether I was called to be there longer. But I discerned to come back, and we were still kind of dating at this time, which is a unique cross to be separated from a person that you care about. But yeah, just sort of over time, we grew in love and closer to the Lord and to each other, got engaged, and she's from Ann Arbor, Michigan. So that's why I'm here.
So that's how you got to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Okay.
Love is usually the reason why men transplant themselves is for love. So.
For sure. Yeah. I know this week we want to talk about a variety of things that are in your heart. You're such a good teacher just on the spiritual journey, various kinds of things. But I just wondered, we have a couple of minutes left. Do you want to mention something about Warriors for St. Michael,
sure.
What that's about?
Yeah, so it was early January 2022. I was in my basement about to work out, and my daughter, who was 7 at the time, came up and have a statue of St. Michael there. And I said, Emma, what if we called this the St. Michael Workout Chapel? We'll pray the rosary while we work out. It's going to be so epic. And she said, no. It's going to be called the Warriors of St. Michael.
Oh, really?
Workout Chapel.
So she named it.
She named it. And when she said that, something stirred in my heart. I was like, I couldn't explain. I couldn't shake this phrase to the point where I just bought the domain warriorsofstmichael.com. And I think I was helping I was emceeing a men's retreat that summer. And I remember the director of adult discipleship, Amy Godfrey, said, what should we invite men into after this? And I sort of nonchalantly said, well, I have this website called Warriors of St. Michael. Maybe that could be a men's ministry. And she said, yeah, sounds good. I'm like, don't you need to get approval for this? She's like, no, I'm the director of adult discipleship. I can approve new ministries. I'm like, okay. So overnight, we were the de facto men's discipleship ministry of Christ the King. And it's been a wild
ride. It started with a website.
I collect domains. Yes.
That is a pretty interesting beginning. Uh-huh. Your daughter, how old was she?
She's 7.
Oh, so your 7-year-old daughter named the men's ministry.
Yes, she did.
Under the inspiration in the moment down in the workout room. Well, that's pretty
that's
fun.
Right.
That's
yep.
fun. Yeah. Wonderful. Give our listeners just a sense of what we'll be talking about this week, and they can invite their friends to come back and join us, because I think it's going to be very rich.
Yeah. No, yeah. My hope is that we can press into a topic very dear to my heart, which is, what does it mean to be a child of God? I've pressed into this many times through the lens of St. Thérèse of Lisieux and St. Joan of Arc, two very different saints externally, but my contention, my thesis, is that they were rooted so deeply in knowing they were a beloved child of God, that they were able to accomplish amazing things interiorly and, of course, exteriorly as well in the case of Joan of Arc. And I really want to press into that so that we can assimilate that truth as well.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it. And brothers and sisters, we're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he rose from the dead not only to redeem us, to take away our sins, but to really share his life, to receive his glory. And we've been given that in baptism. And part of what that means is God's love is poured into our hearts. And as Sean was talking about today, and he will be talking about days ahead, Jesus has brought us into the love of the Father. God's love is poured into our hearts, and our identity as children of God is what frees us, gives us health, especially in difficult times like the shaking that's going on in the world. So tell your friends to join us. I think you're all going to be blessed. Hope you can join us.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.